Kneel at the cross, 405 in the blue hymnal.
Count your many blessings every thought.
number 224.
Good morning. Isn't it a joy to gather, even in a small portion of them, of the group or the congregation? This is a blessing. Has your prayers paid off? Yes. Let's not take those prayers that we think lightly and for granted, but praise God for that. And my wish and prayer is that we will have been praising God I know for myself, I have to remind myself to do that. So easy just to pray and later on forget that what God gave us to thank him for that. Hearty welcome to each of you this morning that have gathered here, and for those listening this morning and maybe in the future, connecting to live stream and listening, welcome. May the peace of God and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of his Spirit be with us all as we again fellowship together, whether in body, but mostly in spirit, through God's word. Last Sunday was Father's Day, and I spoke a lot about what the Father's responsibilities are and what opportunity they have. And I touched on half of the items that I want to touch on, and that's why I want to continue today. Last week, I spoke about the responsibility or the opportunity that the father can be a teacher to their own children, to his own children, and lead as an example for them, be a provider, and a father of discipline, just as like our Heavenly Father is one that disciplines us. And then, fathers, that we are to spend time with their children. This morning, if I would ask each and every one of us, each one of us fathers, and you had the opportunity to speak, is there anyone here or anyone listening that could honestly say, I've spent enough time with my children? I think each one of us as fathers would have to say, I failed. Or we could say, I wish I would have had more time. Or not necessarily had more time, maybe say, I wish I would have taken more time. Used my time wisely. Not selfishly. And I'm not opposed when somebody has maybe an old vehicle and spends a lot of time working on and fixing it up. Don't misunderstand me. But some of those opportunities and those things that we just do selfishly for us as fathers, were they a time of connection with our children? Can our children, honestly, our children, our grandchildren, look up to us and say to us as a father and as a grandfather that we glorify, that we are excited for that dad we had, for that mom, we could conclude that just as well. But the dad and the grandfather, for those that are grandfathers, do our grandchildren look up to us and are proud? In Proverbs 17, verse 6, I used that as text last Sunday. And today again, I want to use that. Proverbs 17, verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men. You know, my grandchildren are like a pearl to my crown. I love each and every one of them. They're special to me. I have 12 of them. Yesterday was a glorious time as my wife picked up one of the grandsons, and we do take time for them to come over individually. And for myself, getting ready for a wedding, I didn't really have time for my grandson. I was still preparing. And yesterday morning, I still wasn't quite ready with everything. But he was there. And I saw his grandma and him having a water fight. And I said to myself, boy, I'd love to be out there and have that time. And finally I said, that doesn't matter. Leave this alone. You need to go right now and have some fun with your grandson. So I went out there and I grabbed one of our water things to squirt each other. And I grabbed one of those and put some water in there. And I ran after my grandson and we had a fun time. He soaked me pretty good. Later on, when we took him home on our way to the wedding, was an opportunity to drop him off at home. And so we asked him, I says, so what was your glorious time? What was the best time of your weekend at your grandma and grandpa's? And he says, getting grandma and grandpa soaking wet. What an opportunity. What a memory that they could build. Had I not taken that time, I would have not been involved with that name. It would have been just grandma. And it's not like I don't grant grandma that. But But think of that. Those are the crown, those are the jewels in our crown. But then the verse goes on in verse 6 of chapter 17, Proverbs. He says, and the glory of the children are their fathers. They look up to us as fathers. Even as grandfathers, you can put the name in there, as grandfathers. We are the glory to those children and the grandchildren. Do we miss out? I have lots of times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, I come to you. I thank you for guiding our hearts. Lord, we haven't always listened. We have failed. And you, O God, look down and you understand. You're merciful. You're patient. You're loving. You have compassion. You don't set us to anger. And God, thank you for that. And now for us to follow that as a father and as a grandfather, Lord, we need help. I pray today, Lord, as you have laid upon my heart to continue to speak about what the duties of us as a father and a grandfather is, that you will open the hearts of the listeners and that you will especially speak to us as fathers and grandfathers. Yes, and this could pertain to mothers and grandmothers as well. The duty and the opportunity that we have to raise our children and our grandchildren in a way and in the walk of yours to lead to everlasting. Lord, bless this hour, and not just this hour, but the blessing of your word that it may go with us and that it could be edifying, building us, and then be useful and be put to work to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And so as I said last Sunday, I spoke about those six first items that I talked, refreshed this morning about. But today morning, I want to continue and ask us as a father, when your child has stumbled and has fallen and is crying, and I'm to blame with this just as well, and they maybe hurt themselves and it's bleeding, you go up to them and, oh, you're a tough boy. Never mind, you know, like, get up and just run. Yes, it's good to do that. We've got to make them, not everything has to have a pity party. But do we have compassion? As a father, do we have time when a child is hurting and have compassion over them? That we are willing to sit down and if we need to even cry with them. Do we take that time? Or do we say, you know, go to mom. She'll take care of you. She'll bandage you up. In Psalm 103, verse 13, we find this word, verse. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. When you and I, as a father and a grandfather, mother, grandmother, when we are down, and maybe somebody has said something to us that has really deeply hurt us. Maybe our closest friend. Or maybe a brother or sister. They have treated us in a way that has deeply hurt us. We can maybe go to our spouse and share that. But we have a Father, a Heavenly Father, that we can go to and we can pray to him and ask him to help us with this. To get over, to forgive, help us forgive. Maybe our sibling, as I said, whatever it is. To get on with life. He has pity over us. This Heavenly Father has a pity for us. He has compassion. And Psalm David is writing that we as fathers are to have that same pity over our children. Do I have the compassion? Do I have a heart of forgiveness or a heart of even listening when they are troubled and when they are down? Yes, at times, and I remember the words I used, at times I have listened, but a lot of times I have missed an opportunity. Today it's so easy to look at your child and you watch them raise their own children, and you want to go there and give them an advice. You know, you should listen a little more to your child. Any of you grandparents recognize that? Anything sound familiar? It's so easy to go do that. But for oneself, what did I do? Where did I fail? I failed by leading an example. There's a father that had two sons in a parable that Jesus uses in Luke chapter 15. This father loved both his sons. There was, as I understand that passage, there was no difference to him. And when that son wanted to leave and he wanted to have his portion, he gave him his portion. He didn't fight about it. And he let him go. But this son came back. And he's trying to figure out, how am I going to go to my dad? And how am I going to go to my dad and say, you know, Dad, I have failed. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. So he didn't even want to even consider himself part of the family. But he knew he could have a lifestyle there that he could survive. And he wouldn't have to eat with the pigs. So we see in Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15, verse 19, he says, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. This is what he had figured out he was going to go tell his dad. He's thinking this all through, how he's going to approach him. And he gets up in verse 20 and he rose, he says, and he came to his father. And when he was yet a great way away, his father saw him and had compassion. Are there times when your child comes and you know there's something going on? It's like, don't bother me right now. Go to mom. Or just go sit inside. I'll be there yet. An hour later, you might remember that your son is still waiting inside for you. This father had compassion. This father had a heart for his son. Do I have the compassion that God has on me? For my child. Do you have that for your child? Are you one that is waiting and just longing for comeback and to have the time, as the rest of that verse 20 goes on, he says, and he ran and he fell on his neck and kissed him. Do we care for our child? The eighth thing that I want to talk about is being a doer. It's so easy to preach to our children, tell our children, this is what you need to do. And I think as fathers, many of us understand what I'm talking about. We tell them, go do this, go do that. But we ourselves fail. In James chapter 1, I think James really writes it quite deeply and understandably for us. In James chapter 1, verse 21, to 26, 21 to 26, reads as follows. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. He's speaking here, and he's saying to us, he's not talking about only my soul, not only your soul, he's talking about souls. It's myself, my wife, my children, my grandchildren. Lay aside all this filthiness, but put that engrafted word in us, the word of God, so you'll be able to save your souls. And then he goes on in verse 22, and be ye doers of the word. Not just knowing the word, not just engrafting that word in us, but when also, I guess when you say engrafting word, when you have that engrafted, it should be part of your life. But he says, be not just doers of the word, or be doers of the word and not just hearers. So we're gathered here this morning, whether in fellowship or personally here in church, or whether listening. It's so easy to listen to the word and we know the word. But to do that is something that we have to want to do. And he says that we actually make fools of ourselves if we don't. Deceiving, he says, not here is only deceiving your own selves. We're making ourselves a fool if we don't also apply what we've listened, what we've heard. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Do you and I remember what we saw this morning in the mirror, when we looked in the mirror? Maybe when you were looking in the mirror, those few hair that you have to comb, or the many hair that you have to comb. Do you remember who you saw there? When after you left the mirror, were you not perfectly dressed? Wonderfully dressed? And you forget about that, and you go on and don't care about who God has so fearfully and wonderfully made you, made me. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. And if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. These verses just often make me think of what are the words that come out of my mouth? Are they edifying? Have I spoken in such a way that I've been a blessing to my children and my grandchildren? Or have there been words that have come out of my mouth that make me a fool? That we end up deceiving our own heart. He says, this man's religion is in vain. I come to church to be filled. I turn the radio on to be filled with God's word. But as soon as I turn it off, I let the anger set inside of myself. And I use language that is not appropriate. Is that what God wants? That's like looking in the mirror and forgetting who you were. And you walk further. And you do things that are not right in the sight of the Lord. Proverbs 23, verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. You see, our children and our grandchildren, do they rejoice when they see us? Or when they come on our yard, are they grumpy? They didn't really want to go to mom and dad's or grandma and grandpa. Or is it a joy to go home to their parents for our children and for the grandchildren to come home to their grandparents? The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Where's our joy for our grandchildren? You know, it is tough. And I think for us, we have a few grandchildren. Appreciate every grandchild I have. But to spend the time when they all come over and to have some individual time for everyone and still have time for your own children, never mind the grandchildren, to sit and visit, that's not easy. And sometimes, deliberately, you have to tell yourself, right now it does not matter. I'm not visiting with my children and my children-in-law. Right now, I'm taking some time for my grandchildren to go play some soccer, go play some baseball. And that's a highlight to our grandchildren, just for them to come and later on say what joy they had had that we had done with them, memories that we can share with them. And through that, we can have a connection with our spiritual life. Our godly father then can operate or work those things through us that our children can watch and see of us as fathers and grandfathers. So you score a goal or someone let one in your team Do you go there and yell at him and say, "Where are you? How come you're my goalie? Should you not be a better goalie?" And start swearing at him. What would that be of a father or a grandfather? But if you'd rather go up and say, "It's okay. We're having fun. It's okay to let some in." And teach them that life is about Christ, about showing joy and having peace with one another, and to do things together with love. So, having said that, the next topic is, our next part I want to talk about, provoking. Do I and do you as a father, have we, I should maybe ask, caused our children to be angry at us because we didn't have time? I believe I've done that far too often, where I should have taken the time when the son or my daughters had a question. And now it's so easy to look at your own child and watch them, as I said before, how they work with their children. And I'm like, that just reminds me of too many times where I failed. Not listening to them. Not listening to what they want answers for. And they walk away discouraged, angry, upset. And then we ask ourselves sometimes, how come our children don't come talk to us? How come they run somewhere else and ask questions to those people? It's because dads, we haven't taken the time to listen. And now we want to be important. In Ephesians 6, verse 4, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Nurture them. We need to feed them. We don't throw them an empty bowl and say, there's your food. Go aside. We bring them fruit. We give them something that nutritiously helps them in their spiritual life. Not provoking them, not sending them, causing anger in them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, very similar. Words that may be just a touch different, but the same meaning. "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Have we taken that time for them? Or have we done things and said things that brings them into their part of the life of living a life of anger and hatred towards us as a dad or a grandpa? Fathers, we all have our responsibilities. Let's not provoke them, but let's rather encourage them. Never give up on your child. Maybe you have a child that you've tried very well and very hard to raise, and this child has turned its back. We had an experience, and that's not saying that our children haven't all challenged us somewhere, but one of our children, having grown up, we often refer to as an angel. She was one that was very easy to discipline. If there was something wrong, you didn't have to use the rod on her. Words were enough. And she was so easy to deal with and such a content child, till she turned to be approximately 18 years old. Things changed. We didn't know. This is not our daughter. What's happening? And there too, I would say that's where I had failed in the past. Is when she would have wanted to talk to me, I didn't have time for her. And so we prayed for her many times. And I remember the one time she had been home late that night again. We could maybe say early hours of the morning. My wife said to me, she says, "You need to go talk to her. She was up. She came home very late this last night again." I didn't know what to say. I went to my bedroom, and I fell on my knees, closed the door, I locked the door, and I cried. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. She is not my child. You created her. Yes, I have failed. I'm asking you for one thing. That's all I'm asking. Well, there's two things, actually. Help her to change her life. But the other thing, the biggest thing that I wanted God to help me with was help me to love her unconditionally. No matter what she does, help me to love her. And it's very hard to love when your child is not doing what you want them to do. I got up. I felt God's glorious spirit working on me. I got up and I went to her, never talked to her about what had happened. Left it alone. I loved her. And just every day, just kept on going as if nothing ever happened, if she ever came home late. About a month or two, I don't know exact time, she gave her life to the Lord. We kept praying. Never give up on your child. Never. Luke chapter 15, I was speaking before about the prodigal son. This father is out there, and I believe this father must have been out there watching and waiting for his son. This son is gone. I don't know how long. But it does tell us in Luke 15, it tells us there in verse 20, and he arose, this prodigal son, and he came to his father. And when he was yet a great way away, his father saw him. His father was watching. His father was waiting. He did not give up that his son was going to come home. Let's not give up on our children. Let's keep praying for them. And that brings me to the next part. Pray for your children. Make them a deep prayer from even when they're still in the mother's womb. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 1 Chronicles 29 is a wonderful prayer that David had for his son Solomon. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 18 and 19. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. David is praying to God that he's supposed to do this for the people. And then he says, he prays here for his son in verse 19, and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. He's praying for his son. But he's asking God to help his son. Fathers, let's not forget our children. Let's not forget our grandchildren in our prayers. And then, to love. Do you and I lead an example of a disciple that is very visible to our children and grandchildren? Could they say to others, I have a dad and I have a grandpa that is a disciple for Christ? Or he lives a life that Jesus would want him to. Could our children actually go out and say that about us? Very common verse I often will use is John 13, verse 34 and 35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. All men are supposed to know. And that means our children as well are to know that we are Jesus' disciples if we have love to each other. In 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Am I God's child? I ought to love. Are you God's child? You ought to love. It tells us that we, ones that are born of God, they love. Next, I want to step into inheritance. And I have failed in this, saying this just as well, to say I'm spending my child's inheritance or my grandchildren's inheritance. Have you ever heard that line? That's something that there's many of us may use just out of a joke and stuff, but what I want to say this morning, that you and I have, as a father, a duty to leave an inheritance for our children. Now, the biggest inheritance that we can leave our children is spiritual life, raising them up in a godly home. But in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22, Proverbs 13, verse 22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, not just his own children, but to his grandchildren. I'll repeat that. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his grandchildren, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. But the sinner, the one living a sinful life, the money that person is going to gather together will later on given to those that live a just life. God will deal with them. But if we are a man of God, we are to leave an inheritance for our children. We are not to be ashamed to leave money behind or belongings for our children. But today I want to say the greatest inheritance, like I said, is a spiritual life, living a life for Christ, having accepted Christ, living that, and instilling that on our own children and our grandchildren. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 14, Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says it this way, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Let's do well. Let's not just think that all the money and all the things that we supply, we get ready, is just for us to enjoy. But let's do that for our children and our grandchildren, and so that they can further that to the next generation. Fathers, you and I can receive glory when we live out these things that I've spoken about. As we know that Proverbs 17, verse 6, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. We both benefit. They become a crown, they become that pearl in our crown, we could say. We become that glory for them, and for our children and our grandchildren. And let's remember what Paul says in Galatians 6, verse 7, what you sow, you will reap. What do you want? You want a child of love? You want a child that cares for you? What do you want to reap? So I want to encourage us, but I'd like to go to one more verse in 3 John and verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Parents, that is a joy. When we know that our children walk in truth and in love of the Lord, that is a great joy. And let's not take that for granted. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. I pray, Lord, help us. Help us to bring forth that joy, that love, mostly that spiritual life that we should have. And then we know that in that there is great love. There's that peace, that joy, that fruit that Paul talks about in Galatians comes forth of that. I pray, Lord, that that fruit may be in us as a father and a grandfather, that our children, our grandchildren, and our wives can pick that fruit from us and enjoy that fruit of ours. And enjoy the time that we would spend with them with love and laughter. And Lord, mostly our spiritual life. Lord, that they could take from that life of ours that it would be a good life of yours, followed by fruit in their life to their children. And that we could together have that joy. Lord, help us as fathers to walk a life that you have so desired us to have. This I pray. You have blessed this hour, and I pray it may be a blessing to everyone that's listened, and that they would, with that blessing, go forward and bless you with that in return. In Jesus' name, amen. So in closing, I want to say thank you all for coming. May God have richly blessed us through his word, and that we can go out, as I prayed, and to be a blessing out of what we have been fed with this morning. So I encourage you all, let's keep building ourselves up in our full faith, our most holy faith, as Jude talks about. Let's keep ourselves in the love of God. Let's go out, let's make a difference. Let's be compassionate. Let's have that for one another. Let's fear those people that are going to hell. Let's go there and let's help them. Let's not stay in our house and say, well, we're just going to keep this word for ourselves, but let's go out and make a difference. So in closing, thank you, everyone that's listened, everyone that's here. God bless you. You're a blessing to me. Praise the Lord. And I want to close with the last two verses of Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may go in the peace with the Lord. Thank you.